Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I just feel the brokenness already. Come on, give the Lord a good, good hand. Amen. We're going to be going into our Bibles, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And you just remain standing for the reading of the first verse. And after that, we'll go and take a seat. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. As you turn to it, I believe also we're going to be having it up there as well. Amen. The verse. So if you want to go ahead and do that. And then also be ready. Amen. Take notes. Amen. I ask that you just take notes so that you could refer back to this message later. And the title of the message, I'll give you the title later. Amen. I'm excited. Is that all right? I'm excited about giving you the word. I pray that I'll give you the word how God downloaded it to me. Sometimes it doesn't work that way. Sometimes he downloads it to me and I'm like, yes. And then it comes out like, oh, what happened? Amen. So I pray that it comes exactly how God gave it to me. Amen. So chapter 4, verse 12. You guys got it?
Amen.
Okay. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and threefold cord is not quickly broken. I like the New Living Translation. It goes like this. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. We pray for your anointing upon the service, an anointing upon your speaker here today. Let me be your mouthpiece. Speak to me and let it land on, speak through me, that is, and let it land on good ground. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody says?
Amen.
Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I'm ready. Come on, somebody. I'm ready. Go ahead and take a seat after that. Amen. I'm ready. Praise the Lord. Well, I was excited about starting this new series, Faith and Family. I pray that you'll be blessed today. I know that it's going to be some of the things that I went through as a father, and as a son, as a family member. And I've actually had a lot of broken relationships in my own personal life that I had to deal with. And thank God for salvation. Amen. Thank God that God has revealed to us a way out. And here, this scripture, this is a scripture that I actually use for marriage. You know, when we get together, I share a scripture on this, and I talk about a three-stranded cord. Basically, one is the husband and the wife, and Jesus is in the middle. And some people say that that's not accurate. It doesn't really say that it's Jesus, but it just talks about a three-stranded cord is better. But it, what it is referring to is being alone. How many here want to be alone? Nobody wants to be alone. That's the most miserable thing ever. And basically, God is saying you need to have good people around you so that you could make this journey strong. Somebody say strong. Amen. So the title of the message, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Not easily broken. Not easily broken. Just write it down. If you're in the men's home, you should have notepads. Write it down. Amen. Not easily broken. Now, I really want to get into this because this is going to be a four-part series. We're going to be talking about this topic. The next week, we're going to be talking about family ties, what binds us as a family, and it doesn't release us to be all that God called us to be. How many know God's called your family to serve him? Amen?
Amen.
The second message is going to be unbreakable faith. Everybody say, I'm unbreakable. Unbreakable faith. That's going to be the second message, or the third message, that is. And then the fourth message is faith of a woman and the faith of a man. Hello, somebody. And so my wife and I are going to be back to back speaking that message. And so there's going to be three consecutive messages. I pray that you come to every single one of them. I believe you're going to be blessed if you do. Amen. And so not easily broken is what my title is. And the reason why I picked that title is because I believe God wants to make us strong, not only in our faith, but in our families. And, you know, in divorce today, and as I begin to read, there's so many people that I've even married myself that they ended up in divorce. And it was a sad thing to see. And they said way back in the day, there was 50% of marriages that ended in divorce. Now I'm thinking it's probably 60 or 70%. And they said people that actually have their second marriage, the percentage is even higher. And they said it's very rare that a married couple make it up to 30 years of marriage. Matter of fact, Kenny and Rita just made it up to, I think, 31, right? 30. Praise the Lord. 32. He's like, 32, bro. I know, 32. 32 years of marriage, amen, and that's awesome, amen. We congratulate you. I'm about to be there, right? We're about to be there pretty soon, and next year will be 30 years of marriage. And so, but not too many couples make it. And do you guys know what the three most common things that cause a divorce? I know a lot of people think they know, but maybe you might want to shout it out.
Money.
Money. Amen. Money. Why money, right? Money, right? Money. Money is an issue, right? What else is there?
Communication.
Communication.
Selfishness. All right.
What's that?
Selfishness
for all the singles. Amen. Just playing. Just playing. It's picking on you. Amen. So communication, money, right? Anything else? Wow, not having God in the center. That's good. They say that the top 10 is this. The third one is communication, like you guys got. Amen. Communication is the key. The second one was money. And that is an issue, always. And then the third, number one thing that causes divorce is infidelity. Somebody getting in between the marriage. You see, and that's what happens is that when somebody gets in between that's not supposed to be there, that's when problems begin to happen. You see, in marriage today, and if you're going back to our text, and it talks about a three-stranded cord, it talks about being together. Not only in marriage, but in family and also in friendships. How many here have a lot of friends on Facebook? Right? How many here have 2,000 friends on Facebook? No, I think she does. You got 2,000 friends? You how many got 1,000 friends on Facebook? Come on now. You got 1,000 friends? All right. We're going to give you an award after church. Amen. You got, how many here have Instagram? You got a lot of followers, right? You got, how many followers do you have? I shout it out. I got 500. You got 7,000? You got 7,000? You got 7,000? Boy, you're popular. You're a popular dude. Amen. Anybody else can beat that? This dude. Let me ask you though, Antonio. Can you count on them to visit you at the hospital when you're sick? So, not to pick on them, right? But friends are not something that we pick loosely. You know, on social media, we can just say, okay, I'll friend you. But we could also unfriend them in a minute, right? Right? You go, I'm going to block you now. Amen. You just, right? So you block them. And, you know, because if we take it loosely, friendship. But friendship is so super important because it's something that's going to help you through life. If you have the wrong friend, you can end up doing the wrong thing. Right? Because friends, not all friends are good. You know, because you could be, you know, having a friend that's good to you, but not good for you. Hello, somebody, right? You can have that, but, you know, you got to watch out what's in your inner circle. Because within your inner circle, you're going to make decisions. You're going to be encouraged or discouraged. You're going to give up because they're encouraging you to give up. But see, you got to be careful who surrounds you. Matter of fact, what is the basis, I believe, of every relationship, it doesn't matter if it's marriage or if it's son and daughter or if it's friends, what the basis is, it should be faith. Turn to your neighbor and ask them that. Where is your faith? Faith is your anchor in every relationship. Let me give you an example. That if I have faith in every relationship, I would make clear that every friend that I have faith in Jesus. So they know that I am not going to play games with them when they want to play. Right? My faith is first before you want to go play and do your thing. Because it's the basis of every relationship. If it's not the basis, then you're going to be in trouble every time. See, faith is the anchor that's going to keep every relationship strong. Everybody, I've heard of this, and people say this, that no, Pastor, it's love. Love needs to be in the center of every relationship. Love needs to be in the center of your marriage. You got that right. But what is love? What is love? Right? People say, what is love? And they ask the question. Now, is love an emotion?
No.
Huh? Is love a feeling?
No.
Right? You can sing that as oldie, amen? You know, you think love has a color? We always make it red. Love has a certain way. But let's look at 1 John chapter 4. It talks about love. Let's find out what real love, because love is not a feeling. It's not an emotion, but it's a person. Hello, somebody. And right here it says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of what? God. And everyone who loves is born of what? God. And knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. So it's not none of those things, but it's a person. It's a person of God. He is love. He is love. So if you want to have a good relationship with all the friends and all, you have God in the center of every relationship, and it will prosper. It will be blessed. Your marriage will be blessed. Even your children will be blessed. Now, I have this cord here that I bought. Amen. And it's a 3-stranded cord. And so if you pull it apart, you put 2 together, it's not that strong. You put 3 together, it becomes really strong. Matter of fact, I've got one of these ropes that have a 3-stranded cord, and I towed a car with it. Amen. I put it in the back of my truck, and it towed a car with it. It was strong enough to tow a car. But see, when you're 3 together, it becomes super, super strong. And not only that, you got to realize that 3 is a number of completion. Right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a number of completion. Matter of fact, when you have 3, it completes. Have you ever seen a movie, and the movie goes like this, and I'm trying to remember the name of the movie, and it says, "You complete me." Austin Powers? Huh? Yes. Tom Cruise. And he was dancing in his underwear, right? That's the one. That's the one. Yep. And it sounded so good. You complete me. Right? You complete me. It sounded awesome. But guess what completes us? It's God. It's Him in the center that holds everything together. It holds everything together. He completes the relationship that we have. Do you know, without God, we don't have a relationship. It becomes a selfish relationship. One of the reasons why people get divorced, and one of why people are always in arguments and fights. Let me tell you why. You think one of you guys mentioned it. It's selfishness. Everybody's trying to meet their own personal need. But when you keep God in the center of it, everybody's trying to please God. And everybody's drawn to that. That's why the Bible says, lift up the name of Jesus and He will draw all men into that. What that means is that you put God in the center and He will keep us right before Him. You see, when you're right before God, things become better. Right? You're not proudful. Right? You're not jealous. Things don't, you know, all things begin to change. And you know what happens when you have God in the center of every relationship? I'm talking about even your boss. You know, because I remember praying a job, and I asked God to be the boss of my job. Is that okay to ask?
Yes.
Right? I asked God, God, be the boss of my job. I didn't even know what I was saying. I was like, God, be the boss of my job. That sounded good, yeah. But you know what? God blessed me with a job that the guy was a Christian.
Amen.
And he was he happened to be a heroin addict for 20 years. God delivered him and set him free, and he was there just giving his testimony to me. And then when I got hired on, he told me this: was whenever you need a 3-day weekend, just let me know. You know, let me know. You know, I know ministry and everything else, and he was talking about ministry. And I go, God, you answered my prayer. He's a God. He's God of my job.
Yes, He is.
You see, when you begin to do that, even your job begins to change. Even the environment of your home begins to change when God is in the center of it all. I like going to Nanny's house. Right? You don't know about this. Nanny, when we first came to the city, right, Nanny took us in. We were homeless. I was playing. we were homeless. We were trying to figure things out over here. And we had a place to stay while we were over here traveling back and forth. And she goes, oh, just come to my house and, you know, I have an extra room. So we stayed in that room, right? Right, Nanny? Thank you so much. Amen. She was amazing. Amen. She took us in. But not only that, every morning she would have worship music on. She would have worship music. And then she would have, what is that channel that you have?
TBN
all the time. You know, I wake up to Jesus, go to sleep with Jesus. You know, just, it was just, Jesus was in the center of that home. And I thank God for that. God knew where I needed to be because I needed some peace at that time. Amen. And so it was beautiful to have that. Instead of crazy music, crazy things going on, how many here have ever grown up with a dramatic family? Everything's drama, right? The sky is falling, right? Everything, right? A dramatic family. See, my family, I don't know about your family, my family, oh, they love the scream. Everything was a screaming topic, right?
You got the milk. You drunk the last of the milk. You know, no.
Oh my gosh. It was just constant yelling and screaming at my family. It was in the morning, at night, and it was between my sisters. They would pull each other's hair. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but I've seen that firsthand. Like big things of hair come out of them. And, wow, and you ever see girls fight? That's how I would see all the time. They were pulling each other's hair. And then my mom got in the middle. Then they pulled her hair. I said, oh, no. That's when I got into it. And I was a little kid. And I was trying to stop it. And so it was crazy in my home. But it was a lot of yelling and screaming. I thank God he interrupted my miserable life. Because that's the way I was going to raise up my children. Just like that. But Jesus came into the scene. And he became my three-stranded cord. He became the middle one. And then all of a sudden, because he was the center of it all, peace came into my house. No longer drama happened, but the peace of God. I would say the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that guards our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That peace that calms the storm. That's the kind of peace that I experience in my home. And so when you go to my house, it's all peace. Because I invited the one that keeps everything together. And so you're in charge of that. See, we're not in charge of what's happening out there, because how many know there's a lot of drama happening out there right now? What's happened in Texas right now, it's horrible, amen? Kids have died, and people went crazy, and just all those things that are happening all around the world. There's no peace out there, but there needs to be peace in our home. See, you need to invite peace, the Prince of Peace, the one that's able to bring that peace, and not only that peace, that joy, even when all hell is breaking loose. How many know when you have the Prince of Peace in your home, God is able to calm the storms and give you that peace that you need to get through it. Amen. You see, you have to understand that Jesus needs to be the center of every aspect of your life. To be loved is the greatest feeling ever. Do you know that people complete us in a way that they make us feel good? So, like, for example, this morning, my wife got up and says, how do I look? I said, you look beautiful. And then she goes, she smiles and makes her feel good. You know, it's like when you're, you know, like have that confirmation of who you are. That's what we need with Jesus. Jesus has to be the center, because you know what? He gets us to that place where we can be confirmed of who we are. You have to understand that you're a son and a daughter of the living King. That means if you're a son and a daughter of a living King, you have to be secure in that. That you're going to heaven, right, Michael? You are going to heaven. You got to understand that my security is in my salvation. It's not on somebody. It's not in one thing. But it's in Jesus. That's who my foundation is laid upon. I'm not insecure, but I am secure in Him. I'm not falling apart because He's keeping me together. Somebody shout amen. Amen. You see, you got to understand He is the focus of everything. Now, I'm going to have a volunteer. So, Caleb, volunteer for me. Amen. And I'm going to have Fluffy come on up. Fluffy, come on. I need to stop falling asleep. Come up here. Amen. Hallelujah. This is something we've been battling with forever, so he's working on it. Amen. So right now, I want you to get, come on, come over here. Come on this side, and I want you to come on this side. Stay right there. Face him. Okay, so now we have two people. They're going to come together. Now come together. And hug them. Right there. Take a picture. There you go. Oh, see? You messed up. It's too late. Amen. So right now they're together. Everything's fine. But once something happens, you see, that's when unforgiveness, I'm going to split you guys up. Once something happens, and then all of a sudden this person did something wrong. How many of you have ever been burned by somebody? Right? How many of you ever burned somebody? You didn't say amen to that. You hurt somebody. You have the regrets and everything else. And then you have that where you have that in-between thing. You see, what I've learned over the years is that, let me tell you this. If I hurt somebody, I'll ask for forgiveness, right? But not only that, if they hurt me, I'll forgive them. This is what I've learned. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So if you sow mercy, you will have mercy. You see, but if you sow unforgiveness and bitterness and always cutting people, how many know there's people that cut people all the time, right? You're always cutting. Nope, I'm not going to be your friend no more. You stay away from him. Right? You come over here. Nope, we're no longer friends anymore. You know what? You talked about me. Right? You said this about me. You burned me. You took my money. Right? You don't want nobody taking your money, right? See, you know, or you took my girlfriend. Oh, come on, somebody, right? Right? Or you stole my car. Right? I mean, we can go down the list of all the things that could possibly happen in a relationship. But when Jesus is in the center of it all, especially when you know Jesus, you see, what's the center of what? Okay, let me tell you this. What allows us to go to heaven? Jesus, right? What's the main thing that we do? What's that?
Confess,
that's right. What is the main thing that we do? What's the main thing? What's the main thing? What's the main thing? What's the main thing? Come on, somebody. Over here. What's the main thing?
Forgiveness.
Oh, come on. See, somebody, he got it. Forgiveness. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Right? Come on. Forgiveness is what gives us the access to heaven. Because he's forgiven us. Isn't that true? We have access to heaven because we've been forgiven. How powerful is forgiveness? Now, right here, when you know Jesus, guess what happens? You forgive each other. Get back together again and hug each other. You see? Take a picture. Now, there it is. Amen. Now, hug each other like you really love each other. I just wanted to see that. Amen. Forgiveness is powerful in men's broken relationships. It changes lives. It allows us to go to heaven. Forgiveness is powerful when the Jesus, Godhead Jesus, is in the center of it all. He brings forgiveness, mercy, and grace. We're able to cover. Guess what? The Bible says that God covers a multitude of sins. Somebody say amen. It doesn't matter what you've done to me or what I've done to you. Because of forgiveness, we can mend a broken relationship. Jesus is in the center of it all. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Give them a good hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just stop hugging each other. It's okay now. Amen. And you got to understand that that's what's going to keep us in every relationship. And it's unfortunate. My wife and I have dealt with family members that are still have resentment, and they haven't forgiven people. Matter of fact, they've let people die without asking for forgiveness, and they're holding that grudge still. And it's crazy to see that where people can just hold a grudge. But how many know Jesus can change all that? He can. And so I'm going to leave you three things. If you're taking notes, just three things that could help you. Three things that we need to understand about Jesus and our relationships. Jesus and our relationships. If you're taking notes, just write that down. Three things we need to understand about Jesus and our relationships. Amen. And number one, he stands in the gap. Number two, he is the glue. Amen. Praise the Lord. Number three, we have to be convinced. We have to be convinced. So number one, he stands in the gap. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. It says right here, I'll have it up there too as well. It says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, is he also risen? Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also makes intercession for us? He is the great mediator. He's the one that stands in the gap of all of us. Matter of fact, he's interceding for us. He's the one that he's rooting for you. He's the one praying for you. How many of you know that Jesus is praying for us? And so the Bible describes that in Hebrews. It talks about him interceding for us. He's praying for us that we would get over our regrets, that we would get over our problems with each other. He's interceding for us. He stands in the gap knowing that you are no longer condemned. How many know we're not condemned? Amen? That there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. We are no longer condemned. See, that's the problem sometimes with relationships. You feel guilty. You feel guilty. This is what my wife and I got to deal with all the time. When parents have a wayward child, and this might be you, and I'm not condemning you at all, but this is what usually happens. They have a wayward child, going crazy. And maybe, just maybe, they were a part of that in the beginning. Maybe they lived a really crazy lifestyle. And they were partying, and as a matter of fact, they even gave some drugs to their children. And so they gave that, you know, alcohol and drugs. And then when they grow up, they're doing that. And then now you're clean and sober, and you're trying to help them, but you're feeling guilty. And so you're trying to send them into a program, a home, but, you know, and they don't make it to home, so you send them right back home to you because you feel bad. And then also you become what's called an enabler. You begin to enable your children to continue to be drug addicts. Because if you keep opening up the doors for them at their house, at your house, then you enable them to continue to live that lifestyle because you're making a way out for them. But see, on the other side of the coin, you got the parents that feel guilty. You feel that condemning spirit upon you. He says, how can I do that? I'm the one who started him getting high. I'm the one that just, you know, I saw how hurt he was. Maybe he was molested or she was molested. And maybe I brought somebody in the house and he molested them. And that's why he is the way he is, or she is the way she is. And so now you're feeling this overwhelming feeling of guilt. Can somebody say amen to that? Because I know that I've seen this. This is real stuff. Can I talk about real stuff? And this is the feeling you feel. You're feeling condemned. You're feeling regret. You're feeling, man, I should have did better. I should have raised my children right. Or maybe you did something to somebody and you become a great enabler. You see, that's when you got to understand who Jesus is in your life and what he did for you. I remember that one time my son was out there doing drugs. And he was out there getting high and partying. He was still in my car. Has that ever happened to anybody? Your children sold your car keys? No, it's me. My son would go in the house because he was going to come to church, but I'm going to talk about him now. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, he'd go into my room. And my keys were on my dresser. I'm trying to get my keys. And then as you're stretching his arms out, and I was looking at him beside his eye. I was asleep. And he was going like that. Then right before he grabbed my keys, hey, what are you doing? I go, what are you doing on the floor? I don't know, Dad, I was sleepwalking. I don't know what happened. Oh, my God. You were trying to grab my keys. No, I wasn't. Oh, he would do that almost every night. He tried to steal my car. He wanted to go get high. And one time he came to my house, and our house, and then he came in late at night, one, and he was just finished getting high and drunk. And he goes, Dad, I want to come in. I said, no, sorry. And he goes, okay, can I just come in? I'm tired. I said, no. He goes, you chose the street, you stay in the street. Amen. Oh, man, that was so hard for me to do. My wife was there, and I'm all crying in tears. And, you know, it hurts. It hurts. 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 As parents. And so I shut the door as he was trying to get in. I said, sorry. I love you. Locked the door. And then I was breaking in tears in my room. And then, you know, my wife, she knew that I was just crying because I never wanted to do that to my son. I never wanted to have that. You know, but life has a way. And I might allow some stuff to happen. And maybe I'm the fault of it. Maybe I wasn't in his life like I should have been. But thank God that God teaches us how to raise our children right. You see, I could live that way. I could be an enabler to my children. Or I could stand in the Word of God and say, okay, God, I know it doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right. But I got to stand in what is right. I know that I can't allow this no more. And I know that the possibilities are out there. I know the fear that I had was my son's going to die a drug addict. My fear was I was going to get a call from the police and he's going to be in prison or in jail for what he just did. Those were my fears. Can I hear an amen? I understand those fears. Believe me. But I stood on the Word of God. And I said, God, you've got to save my son. And I'm no longer going to enable him to do what he's doing. But he's going to feel the pain of what he's doing because he's causing me pain. You see, and that's when I took that stand. I said, no more. He slept in my patio. Amen. Outside. Found him outside all cold and everything else. Then I looked at him. And I go, it was a cold night. And I said, you okay? He goes, yeah. How did it feel out here? Not good. That's how you're making me feel every night. You're making me feel cold, hurting, confused. And I let him in that day. I go, don't ever do that again. If you do that again, I'm not going to let you in our house. I go, you need to get clean. I remember sending, and I remember we got to a place where he would come home, you know, and I said, okay, you want to play that game? This is what it's going to feel like when you're in prison. I took everything away from him. I said, you're going to be in a room with no doors. And everybody's going to see you in your room. Matter of fact, I'm just going to give you one set of clothes. And that's all you're going to live off for the next month. And then you think that was cold? Going to jail is even worse. Right? It's cold in prison. It's cold in jail. Well, let me give you a glimpse of where you're going. And I did that. My wife was like, you're doing it too much. No, I'm not. Because I feel like I had to show my son tough love. But I every night I would pray for him. Every night I would tell him. And as he got better and better, I began to give him more grace every time. Now my son is saved. And he remembered those days. He graduated Bible college. Somebody shout amen. See, and he has a beautiful family. He's so like on top of things. He just makes sure he's responsible for everything. He's just a man that, you know, exceeded my expectations. But I thank God that I stood in the Word of God, that I stood my ground. It is not easy, parents. I understand that. It is not easy to stand your ground. It's not easy to do what you got to do, but do it and believe God, and God is going to come through. Somebody shout amen. God is going to come through for you.
God will come through for you every single time. He stands in the gap. He's interceding for your children as you're interceding for them. And he's not only that, he's interceding for you, that God's going to turn everything around for his honor and for his glory. Now, number two, he is the glue. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Who can separate us from the love of God? Every time I read that, I say, who can separate us from the love of God? You know that word tribulation means? Everyday problems. When you look it up, it says everyday problems. That's what it meant. Everyday distress. You know, the word distress means anxiety and worry. That means you have anxiety and you're just panicking when things begin to happen and you want to fall apart. But how many know God is in control, right? He's in control. You want to fall apart, but God is in control. He's the glue that keeps everything together. You have to understand that even those dark times where you just don't understand what's going to happen next. And I've had plenty of those times. I've maybe gotten in an accident or things happen. Pray. Everybody say pray.
Pray.
You got to pray. How many have ever said this? I guess I'm going to have to pray. Right? I guess I'm going to have to pray. It almost seems like the last thing that you're going to do. But how many know it needs to be the first thing that you do? Like, I guess we're going to have to pray about it. No, I think we're going to have to pray about it, right? It's the first thing you do, not the last thing you do. You don't run to the liquor store. You don't run to the connection. You run to Jesus. That's who you run to. You feel weak? Get a hold of your Christian brother, your sister, and say, I got to pray. I'm getting the urge to get drunk. I'm getting the urge to go get hot. I'm getting the urge to go do those things. I need to what? Pray. You see, he's the glue that keeps everything together. He's the one in the men's home. You got to understand, you're going to be tempted. You see, we're teaching you how to be Christians. Disciples. That's what we're not just trying to get you off drugs. We're trying to make you a man of God. You see, that's the difference. This is how you know you become a man of God. When nobody's watching, let's see what you're going to do. That's how you'll know you're a man of God. But if you're not, you're playing games, then you're playing games when nobody's watching. But guess who's watching? You see, he's the glue. He's the glue that keeps everything together in your life. You got to understand, when all hell breaks loose, he's the glue. Man, when you lost your job, he's the glue. When your family member is dying, he's the glue. When all hell is breaking loose and things are taking place and you're hearing bad news here, you're getting a phone call, you're getting a call here, and all of a sudden somebody, you know, your job is laying off. But when all is breaking loose and all things are happening, the Bible says that he raises up a standard. And the Bible says that the devil can't come against that standard. The world can't come against that standard. The standard is the Word of God. Trust God in those circumstances. He is the glue that will keep everything together. He's the super glue. He's the one. Amen. When you're feeling distress and anxiety, because I know that you suffer with anxiety. Half of this world is suffering with anxiety. We need Jesus in our anxious spirits. You need Jesus to know that he is the glue that's going to hold everything together. Lastly is this, number three. We have to be convinced. And in another version, it says we need to be persuaded. And that's what I'm trying to do here today. I'm trying to persuade you. But Romans chapter 8, verse 38 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing could be anything." Amen? Yes. No created thing. Hello, somebody. "Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." He's the one. Let me give you some things that you could do in your marriage and or in your family or in your relationships. Like your relationship between you and your mom. Maybe your relationship between you and your dad. Let me give you some things. How many know that in your family we like to fight a lot? Right? Yeah. Like to argue and fight. Okay, that's fine. Now, if you want to be a woman of God, man of God, this is what you got to do. You know, the Bible says that the Lord fights your battles, right? Amen. But how many know that we move the Lord out of the way, we fight our own battles? Yes. So we say, "Lord, we need to handle this one." "I got this one, Jesus. No, you can sit down. I got this one." But let me tell you about the Lord fighting your battles. Like if you're in a marriage that is struggling, maybe the spouse doesn't know Jesus. What you got to do is you got to do a couple things. You got to follow the word of God. You got to submit. Like, for example, there's been a few times, not my wife, she's been saved all of her life. Amen. I'm just playing. No, she's been saved. And there was times where we were fighting. And I remember she was coming at me and saying, "I want a divorce. I want a divorce. I want a divorce." And I remember that time, and it was kind of like a scary time for us. But then I remember that I learned the Bible. I learned to pray. And one of the things I told her is, you know, "I'm going to go pray." And she got even madder. I would go in the room and begin praying. And she was like, "We need to talk about this." I said, "I don't want to talk about it. I want to pray." And then I started praying. When I got out of the room, all she said was, "I'm sorry." See, the Lord fought that battle. I didn't need to fight it. You see, when you just stand as a man of God or as a woman of God, like if your husband is he's constantly challenging you in your faith, well, just be that woman, a man of God. Just be that person that you need to be, and God will fight your battles. Amen. You know what I do with my children? I let the Lord convict them. I let the Holy Spirit convict them. I tell them things, and then I watch them. Then I say, "Okay, Lord, okay, you do the work now." Because change is better when it happens from the inside. Because if you're conforming to what I'm telling you, you're not transforming. You hear what I'm saying? See, but when God comes into the picture and you allow God to fight your battles, you give it to Jesus, you give that person to Jesus, you say, "I'll give that person to Jesus, I'm just going to give it to Jesus, I'm going to pray." Sometimes we think, "Oh, that's not going to work." Yes, it will. Because they might say something to you, but no, they're no longer fighting you, they're fighting God. You see, you have to come on, give the Lord a hand, amen? You got to be convinced that it works. You got to be persuaded that this works. It works. It works at your job. It works at your family. It works with your brother. How many have an evil brother? Or an evil sister? Amen. Yeah, evil. Amen. Dr. Evil, right? Come on, somebody. Yeah, they're evil. And they'll do the worst thing. They'll talk about you. They'll say all kinds of stuff about you. But what if? Everybody say, "What if?" What if you just say all kinds of good things about them? What if? If you're kind to them as they're being mean to you. What if you just say, "You know what? I know my sister. It's okay. I know my brother. It's okay." How many have evil parents? You don't have to raise your hand. It's okay. Sometimes you might have an evil dad. You might have an evil mom. But if you just do what you got to do, follow God, serve God, you will realize that God has your back. It is the Lord that fights your battles. It is Him that will cause you to be victorious. Remember, like I shared last time, we stand in victory because we believe in victory. That victory will come our way when we stand in this place. We know that God will work everything out. I have to be convinced in this that He'll work out my marriage. He'll work out my children. He's going to work out my family. God's going to work out my relationship. You see, how many here have a best friend that you lost because of arguing, because of fighting? Jesus is able to give you a better friend. Somebody say amen. You know what? When you get to that place where God begins to help you make decisions on who should be your friend, that friend will be a person that's going to help you through your whole entire life. Be careful who you choose to be your friend. Be persuaded of this, that it works. When Jesus is in the middle, when he's the third in the strand of every relationship, when he's that strand, oh my goodness, you don't have to be struggling all the time.
Right.
You don't have to be crying all the time.
Right.
You don't have to be stressed out.
That's right.
You don't have to be none of that. Just say, God has my back. He's going to work it out for me. He is the one that's holding everything together. I'm going to just trust him in everything, and he's going to work it out. He's going to save your loved one. He's going to save your family. He's going to save your sister and your brother, and he's going to save your loved one, your friend, your best friend. He's going to reach out to them. God's going to do it because he's interceding for them. God has our back. Somebody shout amen. Somebody say glory to God. He's the one that's going to keep it all together. He's the one that holds everything together. He's the one that's going to work it all out if we learn to stand in God's word. We were just, maybe I can have Victoria make her way up. We were just learning in our Bible study, the joy of discovery. How, you know, we were learning how to dive into God's word and how to get into it and how to interpret it. But one of the last classes that we've taught was how to apply God's word. And see that you can know the knowledge. You could kind of quote scriptures. And, you know, there's a lot of homeless people that can quote a lot of scriptures. Amen. And they're not doing anything with their life. You see, it's about application. So everything that I just taught you right now, it's about application. It works. You have to be persuaded that it works. Now, you can't operate the way you're operating and still have a good life. You got to know that God in the picture, he's going to work everything out. My wife and I have a strong marriage because of the grace of God and because Jesus is in the center. We pray every morning. All right? Literally, almost every morning. We take prayer walks. We walk, and maybe she'll share about all their stress and all the problems. Then I end up feeling like overwhelmed after that. But we share our burdens together. You see, and that's what we're supposed to do in relationships. We share. When somebody's there, says, man, I just lost my family or lost somebody, be able to share the burden with them. That would be there for. Like I said, not everybody on social media is going to be there with you when all hell is breaking loose in your life. Right? Yeah, they're not your real friends in social media. The real friends will be there when all hell is breaking loose.
Right.
But how many know Jesus can stick closer than a brother? More important than all that, Jesus is in the center of everything when you keep him there. Because we could exclude Jesus every time. God, I got this. I'm okay without it. I can handle it my own. I can get my own job. I get my own thing. I don't have to pray. I could just do this on my own. But when you include God, you know what you do? You say, God, I don't want my will, but I want your will to be done. When you begin to have that kind of attitude, God seems to work everything out. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, first seek the kingdom of heaven and all his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Put him first in all things and he will work everything out. Even with your finances, God is able to work everything out. God, I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe. I'm telling you, honor God with your finances. Honor God. Even just recently, you know what, Monica? There's about 6 or 7 people are going to sign up for Run for Hope. Not Run for Hope, but United We Can. Amen. Because they're just, their faith level is going up. Yeah, there's a lot of people that are going to sign up. So get excited. Amen. But there's going to be a lot of people signing up because people's faith are rising up. And when you trust God with your finances, you trust God with your job, you trust God with, you put him in the center of everything, even in all your relationships, God is going to be glorified and you're going to always have the victory at the end. That's why the Bible quotes, we are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, my Lord. We are more than a conqueror. Why? You don't have to stress. He has everything under control. Somebody give the Lord a hand. Amen. Okay, I want you to just keep by your heads for a moment. Keep by your heads for a moment. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask right now, just for specific prayers, somebody that says, I need to pray for my family. You know, you just describe my family to the T. Maybe you describe me to the T. I'm dealing with stuff that I keep dealing with because I keep handling it on my own. And you need to be, allow the three-stranded cord principle to take place in your life, that Jesus will be the center of every relationship and every situation that you find yourself in. And so here today, you said, Pastor, I need prayer in this area. Because this is an area definitely I need help in. And if that's you here this morning, I want you to raise your hand. God bless you. Right here in the back, on the side, on the front, on the side. Amen. Way in the back. Hands are being raised. Amen. You want Jesus to be the center of every relationship. But you got to act like a woman of God now. You got to act like a man of God. And you got to let the Lord fight your battles. Let God do it. And He's going to do it. How many of you here want to see a loved one saved? Yes. You want to see a family saved? God's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's going to save your loved ones. God's going to do it. As we continue to stand and continue to hold on and continue to believe, He's going to work everything out. Amen. Let's all stand this morning. Praise the Lord. It's Victoria. There's a song here this morning. So what I want to do is, I know the presence of God is moving and ministering all over this place, and I feel it already. But you feel like, man, that was me, Pastor. I rose my hand because that was me. I need prayer here this morning. So I'm going to invite you to come on up, baby. Just come up and join us, amen, as we pray. My sister, my daughter does a song, man, this morning. I want you to come on up and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you right now. Come on.